Well, good morning to each one of you. The Lord's blessing as you have come and as you are participating again in a service. We've been singing a lot about praising this morning, and we're going to look at that a little bit more yet. And yes, we have a charge. Appreciated the songs that have been led. I could have applied, I think, all of the songs this morning to the message in one way or another. But there's going to come a time when we're going to do a lot of praising and a whole lot more than what we probably did this morning. I had to really wonder after Nathan had led that song. I thought to myself, I should have looked and see how many of us had smiles on our faces that we really were praising. Because the time is going to come that I think we'll be all smiles and we'll be praising the Lord. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. I want to read some verses there. Going through Revelations, you have just finished chapter 2 and 3, which is the letters to the seven churches. And then we come to chapter 4, and John says, after this, starting in verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. So the rainbow here is all the way around. It's not just a bow. It's all the way around. Verse 4, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, in Daniel, when you read this account, remember Daniel and Revelation go together, but the seats were empty. Now they're full. And they have crowns on their head. And my title this morning is The Believer's Crown. We're going to look at some crowns, but here they have crowns on their head, crowns of gold. Verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And we've got a lot of calves around us this morning. And the third beast had a face like as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings upon him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, which liveth forever and ever, now notice what the 24 elders do. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And what do? I wanted to see. It worked pretty good for Steve. I didn't know if it worked for me or not. Keep asking you questions. They cast their crowns. Remember, they had gold crowns on their head a little bit earlier, but now they take those crowns and they cast them before the throne, and look what they're saying. He says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. One thing we want to look at a little bit, among other things, is where and when did they get these crowns that they had here? Now, there's basically five specific crowns described in the New Testament. There's some in the Old Testament, which a number of us are already wearing. Can anyone tell me what that is? We're literally wearing them right now.
White hair.
You're not there yet, Tim.
I'm getting there.
Yes. The crown of glory or a crown of splendor. So don't dye your hair. Leave it. Gray hair is beautiful. Right, Leroy?
Yes.
Okay.
Proverbs 6. 20, 21,
well, it also talks about it in Proverbs 16. Anyway, there's five crowns, and I want to go over those crowns to start with so that you have an idea of what we're talking about. The first one we have is the imperishable crown or the incorruptible crown. And you can turn to these verses if you want to. I'll be reading it quite fast. But in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 and 25, these crowns are awarded to believers who exercise self-discipline, deny their flesh, and give a consistent, victorious Christian life. So 1 Corinthians 9, 24 says, "Know ye not, they that which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run, that ye may obtain, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Now we'll get into that a little bit more later. The next one is the crown of rejoicing, or the crown of joy, given to those who give themselves to evangelism, to discipleship, and to bringing others to Christ. And we in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, it says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming?" In other words, it's we've asked others, we're involved in others coming to him. Philippians 4:1 says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." The third one is the crown of righteousness, awarded to believers who eagerly anticipate, love, and live in readiness for the second coming, for Christ's second coming. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, it says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." Interesting what that day is. "And not to me only, but to what? But unto all them also that love his appearing." So that includes us. Not only for Paul here, but also for us. Unto all them. The next one is the crown of glory, given to faithful spiritual leaders, pastors, or teachers. I think this can involve, a lot of times, if you look at commentaries, most of the time this is given supposedly only to leaders, to elders, ministers, pastors. But I believe it can be to teachers, to anyone who is leading or teaching people. But it's given to those who model Christ-like character and to guide God's flock. And they do it without greed or self-interest. You do it for the benefit of seeing them to be a part of the kingdom. And there I'm going to read out of 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. It says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And the last crown of the five is the crown of life, and that's presented to believers who remain faithful, who endure trials, who persevere through severe suffering, temptation or persecution. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." See, they're promised to us, to them that love him. In Revelation 2:10, to the church at Smyrna, it says, "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." So there are two words for crown in the New Testament. The one word is diadem, which means to the power to rule. And it's used to describe the many crowns that Jesus will wear when he returns in power and glory to reign here on earth again. It's a kingly crown, but it's a crown of glory. Revelation 19:12 said, and this is talking about Jesus, says his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, many diadems. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. Now the other word that is used in the New Testament is Stephanos. It's used 18 times. It refers to a victor's crown. It speaks of the crown given to victors in athletic contests. And that is where the crowns, I think, are given. It's at the Bema seat, the judgment seat. And we'll talk about that maybe a little bit. But that's the same thing that they do in the Olympics yet today. You stand and one gets bronze, silver, and gold. Back then it was a wreath. And so that's why it's a victor's crown. The diadem is worn by Jesus by divine right. The Stephanos is earned by us, the saints. And we are promised some of these. Now we read Revelation 4 there. And here we see John looking through the open door into heaven and then writes what he saw. Now, I don't think these 24 elders are angels. They, I believe, are representatives of the glorified believers, the church. They are overcomers. They are wearing golden crowns. They appear to be 24 representatives, like I said, of the entire church before God. They have all the characteristics of the glorified church. They are clothed with white raiment. They worship the Lamb. We see that in chapter 5. They have been redeemed by the blood. They are round about the throne. They are crowned with glory and honor. They are kings and priests unto God. And their hope is to reign on the earth with him. We see that again in chapter 5, where their hope is to reign on earth with him during the millennial period. These are all characteristics of the church, the bride. Now the elders cast their crowns at their Redeemer's feet, saying, "Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power." The crowns here received by the elders as a reward were for faithfulness and their fulfillment of his promises. But they cast them at Jesus' feet, saying, basically, "We are not worthy. You are the one that's worthy to have these crowns." So what are these crowns and how do we earn them? I say earn. That's a figure of speech, but you know what I'm getting at here. Earn is not a work salvation here in that sense, but a blessing that we are promised in his word. Now, first of all, I want to go back and look at the incorruptible crown. There's something wrong with my lights here. Don't move. The incorruptible crown that we looked at in 1 Corinthians. Paul said, now they that do it to obtain a corruptible, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Do what? What are they doing? They're practicing discipline. Paul uses the athletic Greek Olympic game, again, example here. An athlete must be disciplined if he is to win the prize. Discipline means giving up the good and the better for the very best. Anything that interferes with our highest goals are hindrances and not helps. Our goal, like Paul's here, is to lead a disciplined, effective life in order to win the prize, the incorruptible crown. Not a bunch of leaves like they got back then, but an incorruptible crown. Actually, it was olive leaves, I think, that was used there. And they would fade away, but ours will not fade away. Discipline in all areas of our life. We talked a lot about Paul in Sunday school this morning. Well, Paul had one great goal in mind, and that was to glorify the Lord by winning the lost and building up the saints. To reach this goal, he was willing to give up his personal rights. He was willing to give up, and we talked about that, I think, in Sunday school. He sacrificed immediate gains for eternal rewards and joys. And so we too can receive this crown if we live a disciplined, effective life for him, for a master, like Kevin was talking about. The second one, the crown of rejoicing that we looked at in 1 Thessalonians, is for soul winners. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing, Thessalonians said. This crown of rejoicing, like I said, is won through soul winning. Philippians 4 repeated the same thing. What is glory and honor what a glory and honor it is to be used of the Holy Spirit to lead others to the Lord. 1 Peter 1:9 says, this is the end of your faith, even the salvation of souls. So we want to be soul winners. Now the believer who has not sincerely tried to win others to Christ will not experience this glory and joy or this crown. What if you don't have a crown when we get to glory? Empty-handed before the Savior. I don't know if the song is in our current song books. I know it. I know that I learned the song years ago. Must I go in empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior soul? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? No soul won, no crown of rejoicing. Number three, the crown of righteousness. We looked at 2 Timothy 4. It's for the lovers of his appearance or those that are looking forward to the second coming. That's when we win that crown. The coming again of Christ should have a great influence in correcting our lives. That's one thing that we have, the believer has, in looking forward. We know, and we don't know when that's going to happen, so we live our lives accordingly. We're always expecting him at any moment, at any time. That should, like I said, influence the way we live. He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. 1 John 3:3. We have that hope. It will purify us. The person that loves the Lord will long for his appearing and will daily, hourly, seek to be like him. Now, many do not love his appearing. They're not even thinking about the second coming because their lives aren't right. Such will not at that day at that day, whenever that is, will receive the glory and honor and power, or that crown that belongs to those who look for his return. Are you looking for his return this morning? Any amens? Any amens? I trust that we all are. That's one thing that I appreciate about this congregation. I think we're all know and are very much aware of the second coming, and that it can be at any moment, and that we're living for that time. Number four, the crown of life. In James and Revelations, we had looked at these verses. It's for those who endure trials. I think I may have switched these up. Wasn't quite the order I had given them. But anyway, the crown of life is, we may have life through faith in Christ without ever having this crown of life, but this crown is given only to those who have been tried and approved and who love him. Faithfulness to God in times of testing because of a sincere, wholehearted love for him will win this crown of life. Now, the reason I say not everybody may have this opportunity. Some go through a lot more than others. Some struggle with things in their lives, health, whatever it may be, situations, circumstances. But because of a sincere, wholehearted love for him, regardless of their situation, will win a crown of life. The church, again at Smyrna, was told, "Be thou faithful unto death. Be overcomers. Withstand trials and temptations, and I will give you a crown of life." Now, too many today, so-called Christians, will never receive this one because they give up, they give in to the things of this world. Hold fast. Don't give up. We are too near home to turn back now. And that's what the church at Smyrna was told, and I'm saying it to the church at Salem this morning. Hold fast. Don't give up, regardless of our circumstances. Now, that may sound okay if everything is going fine, but some of us are going through things that we'd rather not be going through. Hang on. The last one, the crown of glory. We looked at 1 Peter 5. Like I said, it's for Christian example and leadership. I don't believe it's only for pastors, but everything in a congregation or a local church rises and falls with leadership. No matter how large or how small the congregation will be, leaders must be born again, have a vital personal relationship with Christ, a concern for their people, and a real desire to please our Savior. Now, one day, as pastors and leaders, we will have to give an account of our ministry. Now, I think that's true if you're a teacher in Sunday school and Bible school. You're going to give an account for what you teach. It's not just those of us who have been ordained. Will I receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away? That's a very sobering thought. Taking care of God's sheep as under shepherds for the chief shepherd? Did I say, did I do all that I should have or could have? Did you when you were teaching? Something to think about. Because like I said, I think we will all give an account for that. Now, Peter was concerned that the leadership in the local church be at its best so that when the fiery trials come, and they will come, the believers in the congregation can look to their leaders for encouragement and direction. And Peter talked a lot about that. Now, leaders who run away in times of difficulty, well, are they leaders or are they hirelings? Jesus said in John chapter 10, that they are hirelings. So let's be careful and not be someone who is a hireling, but let's be a true leader. No, it's not an easy thing to be a faithful shepherd of God's sheep. Each one has a mind of their own. We all need the mind of Christ. It's only through the power and the grace of God that one can be faithful. But it has some very beautiful promises, and one of them is the crown of glory. Will I have the crown of glory? Yes, there are five different crowns available to us. Some people may have all five. I don't know. But there's one available to each one of us. Will we have one? Or will we be like the song says, we'll be empty-handed, not only in bringing someone to Christ, but having a crown to give to him, the one who is worthy. What are these crowns used for? Well, we already talked about that in a sense. First, we are to be thankful for the crowns, for now we have something to honor him with, the one who redeemed us, who sits on the throne. We don't win crowns to glorify ourselves. We're not going to go around and say, look at the top of your head and say, how many crowns do you have? That's not the point. We don't do that. We have them to glorify God, not ourselves. Too many people may try to say, look what I'm doing or look what I have done. Well, that's not, probably won't have a crown very long at that point. No, we don't walk around inspecting each other's. But that we might have something, like I said, to lay at his feet and to crown him Lord of all. Crown him Lord of all. He who was once crowned with thorns. Revelation 19:12 says that on his head are many crowns. And so there'll be, will he wear all the crowns we give him? I don't know. I don't know exactly what all that means, but he will have many crowns. Because only he is worthy. He deserves all the praise. Will you and I have a crown to cast at his feet? I challenge you this week, especially think about earning, if I can put it that way, these crowns, one of these crowns, or all of them. We don't have much time left. And again, like I said, we don't want to arrive empty-handed. So I'll review them just here quickly again. It's time to close. But now is the time to lay up treasures in heaven. And if we have these crowns, I think we will hear again what Matthew 25:21 says. Where it says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I think those who are worthy and been faithful over the few will get responsibilities. I believe that we'll have responsibilities in glory. Some will have few, some will have more. It's just like it is here in that sense. But will he say, welcome, good and faithful servant. Look what you've done. This is what I'm giving you. So just reviewing these crowns again. The incorruptible crown is for those who lead a disciplined, effective life. The crown of rejoicing is for soul winners. The crown of righteousness is for those who look for a soon return and live accordingly. The crown of life is for overcomers. For those who endure trials and remain steadfast and faithful. And the crown of glory is for Christian example and faithful leadership of God's flock, regardless of where you find yourselves there. And last but not least, Revelation 3:11, to the church at Philadelphia, which I believe is the true church, which is the bride. But verse 11 says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. No man take thy crown. Hold fast. Hold fast. Keep going. We're just about there. Don't let anybody take that crown so that you have it to cast at his feet around the throne. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your word, for the blessings in your word. We thank you that you have told us how can we can receive these crowns so that we can bring them. Because you are the only one that is worthy to have these. So as we go through these days to come and what time that you give us yet, Father, help us that we would find ourselves worthy to do this. Father, we would just ask that you would be with each one. We do not know the struggles that everyone is going through here, but you do. But Father, help us to hold fast. Help us to keep going so that we might be a part of that throng around the throne, casting our crowns of glory to you. Father, we would just pray that you would just bless those that could not be here today. Be with those who are listening in. Father, just guide and direct each one of us as we continue to live and work for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.